You know, God doesn't call us to be adult-like and serious. He calls us to have childlike wonder, childlike faith. And so the problem is, like, when we were children, you know, there were things that happened in our life that we kind of started guarding ourselves. And maybe that childlike faith and wonder, you know, someone abandoned us or left us or hurt us, and we started putting these walls up. Well, I would say it's time to take those walls down. You know, maybe it was that your dad didn't love you or affirm you. And it's like, all right, well, it's time to let God the Father do that. And so, because I know a lot of men in my life, again, I know a lot of amazing men and I know a lot of broken men. And the difference is that the amazing holy men are the ones that allow God to break down those walls and allow, you know, they allow him to love them, and they're not putting up all these pretend faces, you know? So just as a man, just know that God loves you and that he just wants to get to the heart, and he wants to get you back to being the child, the son he created you to be, the child that is just so dependent on him and in love and trust and has great wonder and joy.
Our vocation to be and raise saints and to evangelize through our actions and words are lessons Jackie Angel imparts today in a message that's packed full of energy. Let's utilize the enthusiasm we are treated to today to make our church as inviting as it is beautiful and true. Inspired by Serving the Godfather Emil Capon, thank you for joining in another holy conversation to strengthen our faith. This is Jason Searle, Chairman of Capon's Men. Welcome to the Foxhole.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, open my lips and my mouth will proclaim your praise. Come, Holy Spirit. Jesus, I invite you into this holy conversation today with Jackie Angel. And I just pray, God, that you help us to remain pure in heart. Because you tell us in the Gospels, Lord, that the pure of heart will see you, will see God. And I just pray for everyone who's downloaded the podcast today, Lord, that they open their hearts up, that they let the walls of their hearts fall down, and they're open, God, to what you desire for them in this holy conversation. I pray for Jackie, for Word on Fire Ministries, and I just pray, God, that we can, as a church, respond to the needs of a world that is desperately in need in a lot of places. I ask all of this through the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of my Mother Mary, and I ask especially for the prayers of Father Capon. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Friends, I am super excited. I know I say this every time I get on this intro, but I'm especially excited today. Jackie Angel, or Jackie Francois, as I knew her back in the day, is so joyful, so excited just to talk about Jesus and her love for Jesus and what Jesus is doing in her life. And now she's on a huge stage all over the world, spreading content from Bishop Barron. But I think today the holy conversation really focuses on just being open to the fact that have we received the good news, and are we willing to go share that good news with the people around us? I invite you to enter the conversation and maybe even pray as you enter the conversation, to hear it with new ears, you know, with a more open heart, and to begin to see the joy that Jackie brings and invite that joy back into your space and into your heart. I believe that you're going to be blessed by this conversation. I know that I surely was. And I just want you to know that the things that she's challenging you to do are possible. And it is time for us to move out into the world and operate from a place where we have received the good news and are ready to share it. My name is Joe Ferris, and I want to personally welcome you to the Foxhole. Jackie Angel, welcome to the Foxhole.
Hey, it's good to be here.
It's so great to see you and just see how good and holy and just on fire for the Lord you are. But before we even jump into that, I need to catch the audience if they don't know you as well as I do. So tell us a little bit about Jackie Francois, 30,000 feet. Give us a little bit of your story.
Okay. I am originally from Orange County, California. I was raised kind of in a Catholic family. My mom's Catholic, my dad's not. So we kind of just, you know, went to Mass on Sundays, said grace, and that was the extent of my faith for 18 years. Although I really started getting involved in youth ministry in high school, and my faith started growing there. And because of that, I went on a retreat that changed my life, turned everything upside down. And I, from then on, from 18 years old, I was completely sold out for Jesus. I was at a Steubenville conference as a young apostle who we were there for like a week before everybody else came. And it was going to daily mass. It was falling in love with Jesus in the Eucharist at an adoration. And also the people around me just were so on fire for their faith. And I looked at these other juniors and seniors in high school. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I've been Catholic my whole life and I don't know anything they're talking about. Like, cause they're like talking about the Divine Mercy Chapel. I'm like, what's that? They're talking about Padre Pio getting canonized. I'm like, who that? You know, like I just had no clue. They were just talking a different language. And I was like, I've been Catholic my whole life. Like, how do I not know this stuff? So anyways, it was, I just saw the faith of the people around me and I was like, I want that kind of faith. And I also fell in love with Jesus and I was very convicted also about the teachings of the church. And I just had this thought, I was like, well, I don't want to be 50% Catholic anymore. Like, I want to be like, you know, I don't want to just be Catholic because my mom's Catholic. I want to be 100% or nothing. So I came back and started going daily mass, started reading everything I could about the Catholic faith. And I fell more in love with Jesus, more in love with the church. And yeah, so from then, I just was really involved with youth ministry. And I just always wanted to, because I had my conversion within youth ministry, that's always been my heart. And so Joe, you and did we meet? I'm trying to remember when we met. Did we meet when you were the host and I was the musician, or had we met the year before?
I think I'd seen you at something, but I think we met officially in St. Louis at Rocky Vine Camp when I got, and the whole reason we met, I remember I saw you and I was like, surely that is not the music minister. Like this girl from California with long blonde hair. I thought, no one, what is she doing? And I'll tell you, and I would tell anybody listening, I have done worship with a lot of people, and that week for me was huge. So everything you're saying, there's no question when you fell for the Lord, you gave yourself completely to the Lord. And even the crowd responded to that. So that was where we met. It was a big moment for me because I feel like I got to see worship at a different stage.
And you know what? Like So I'm a singer, songwriter, musician. I have a couple albums out and I started writing music when I was, in high school, I taught myself like piano, but when I was 18, I taught myself guitar. And when I had my conversion, all of a sudden songs just started coming out. And it's funny because I'm not a great musician. I'm not an amazing singer, but I feel like I have heart and I have love for the Lord that for me, I love leading worship. I don't like doing concerts. Like people are like, can you come do concerts? I'm like, no, I don't. I mean, sure, but that's not my favorite thing. I love leading people because again, like I want to sing alongside, you know, like I don't want to be the center of attention in the sense of like singing and stuff. Cause again, I don't feel like I have the best voice. I'm not the most talented, but I have a heart and I want to lead people to Jesus. That's my heart. So I've done that through music since I was 18 and then also in youth ministry. I was a youth minister and then a full-time traveling speaker, you know, traveling. When I quit my job in youth ministry, I kind of was like, okay, Lord, like if you want me to do this as like a full-time speaker and worship leader, like I know you'll take charge of this because there's nothing in front of me. Like I moved back home with my parents in Orange County and, you know, so, and God did, he just started providing opportunities to serve. And I literally I'm a million miler on United because of traveling to share in the last 10 years. So, and that's crazy because a million miles in 10 years, there were some years it was like 160,000 miles in multiple countries. And thank God I did this. I'm so happy I did this when I was single because now I travel, you know, I'm like trying to only travel like once a month. But yeah, I definitely can't travel like that with four children. So now this is a whole other story, but COVID threw a wrench in the traveling situation. And again, God just provided and Bobby and I, my husband and I were offered a job. We were offered jobs at Word on Fire. At the Word on Fire Institute in Dallas, they were like, so you have to move to Dallas. And we're like, what? Like, we actually, because of COVID, we're looking at moving to Florida because that's where Bobby's from, but God changed the plans. And I'm so happy. Like the community here is amazing. The Catholic community. We love it. We absolutely love it. So I am the, Marriage and Family Fellow. I'm the Fellow of Marriage and Family Life for Word on Fire and for the Word on Fire Institute. And my husband's the Fellow of Parish Life for Word on Fire.
All right. Well, that's a lot of fellows in one place. So let's back up a tad, Jackie, because you've got too much going on. So we went from this girl who falls in love with Jesus, who basically teaches herself to worship and leading folks to Christ, to standing outside in Rocky Vine with me late one night praying, like, Joe, I don't know what God's calling me to. I was like, I have no idea what God's calling to, but I'll pray with you. And you meet this, I remember you saying his name is Bobby Angel. And I thought only Jackie Francois can find a guy named Bobby Angel. So tell us a little bit about how that developed too, because I think that came alongside all these miles on the road.
Yes, yes. So I always wanted to marry a guy whose last name had an O in it. So I'd be Jackie O. Or I had a friend whose last name was Kennedy. I'd be like, oh, I'd be Jackie Kennedy. But when I met Bobby Angel, well, what was funny is when I met Bobby Angel, he was in seminary. So he was completely off the market. And I was like, I just kind of saw him. We met at a Theology of the Body Institute back in 2011, January 2011. In the beautiful Amish countryside of Pennsylvania. And just as any good Catholic girl would do when they meet a hot seminarian, you just kind of, your heart dies a little bit. You're like, why, Lord, do you take all the good looking ones? So I met Bobby and it was so interesting. So I love that this is how God did this because Bobby was in seminary, there was no motive for me. It was like, this guy's cool. And I remember after that week long, there were a bunch of young adults. You probably know quite a few of them. All the young adults, there was like 100 students at these conferences, but there were like 15 young adults. And we all kind of like hang out together and get to know each other. And I just remember looking at Bobby and I told my best friend when I got back from that retreat, I said, you know, that's the kind of guy I would love to marry. Like not him, because obviously if he's going to be a priest, like can't be him. But I just, his personality, he was a big dork. Like we just had the same stupid sense of humor. Like we both watched The Office and Parks and Rec. Like it's just that kind of dry, ridiculous humor. So anyways, I remember like, and Bobby and I became friends, but again, it was so nice to have this like deep love for him as a brother in Christ. There were no ulterior motives. There was just like, wow, I really want the best for this guy. Well, fast forward a year and a half, we were on another retreat together. And this time, Bobby was like praying to God. The whole time he kind of like had this wrestling in his heart, like, God, I don't know if I'm called to be a priest. Like, I feel like I might need like a physical wife, not just like the church is my wife. And he was just kind of praying like, Lord, I feel like I'm called to be out of seminary. I feel like I'm called to be a husband, but I will not leave unless you make it very clear. He's like, please give me a sign. Like, I pray that it's loud. And he jokes now. He's like loud and blonde and So I'm like, hello. So anyways, we re-met on another week and it was, there was just something different and God, you know, I don't know, God, things happen quickly. I feel like when they're meant to happen, because, you know, my whole life, you know, I'm like wondering who's going to be this man, this husband. And I discerned being a sister. I discerned being a nun. And then when it happens very quickly. You know, Bobby and I were in our almost 30 and, I don't know, you just kind of know. So anyhoodle. When he told his bishop laughed and he goes, Bishop, I found the girl I want to marry. His bishop goes, oh, Bob, well, it's like, we always thought you kind of were a crapshoot anyways for the priesthood. And then he goes, and if you should have vows in the future, I should hope that I will be there to celebrate them. So he did. So anyways, it was, you know, Bobby, this is crazy because I'm his wife, but I literally would be first in line for his canonization. You know, like he really is a saint. And he makes marriage a whole lot easier. Now granted, not like we don't have fights, not like we don't have arguments, but we've learned how to fight well, I guess, and argue well. But man, he's my best friend and he's super hot. And
let's be straight. There's so much in that like 90 seconds with Jackie right then. And so if you're a young adult and you want to meet somebody, go to Theology of the Body or Theology on Tap. Just look for anything in theology in the title. And that's right. Where you want to be, courting a little bit. I think though with Bobby and your love story and this whole thing, you have four kids as well. I mean, you did kind of drop that in a few minutes ago. So take us through that. What happened? Like this, I mean, clearly you had this powerful falling in love, getting married, and then all of a sudden you're not much older than 30 now. So God has been good to you, right? He's blessed your marriage.
Well, Joe, the birds and the bees. In the beginning, created a male and female.
Yeah, let's just keep in mind, this is not a Theology of the Body podcast. I just want to put that out there. Like, just tell us a little bit about like your dreams for your family.
So You know, Bob, okay, what was beautiful too about with Bobby is like I always dreamed I could do ministry with my husband. And I didn't know how that was going to work out, but Bobby ended up being a theology teacher at a high school, and we were able to travel around and speak. Well, okay, when we have one kid, our first child comes, that's still easy to do. We're still able to travel around and speak and bring her along. My whole goal was to nurse her till she was about one. And then the hard part is like now two kids come, and somebody has to stay home with kid number one, and somebody has to come with kid number two. So it just in my heart too, I was like, okay, I think I want to start traveling a little less. Not like I'm still traveling like 2 to 3 times a month. But even just more in my heart, I was right before this whole opportunity came, I was like, Lord, it'd be really nice to like travel maybe once a month and be able to stay home more with my kids because now there's a lot of them. So yeah, Bobby and I still get to do ministry together. We still get to travel and speak, and like we have something coming. We have a couple things coming up this summer, but yeah, it's just family life. Like when I was single, I was so blessed to have married couples around me. And when I was just out of college, I had a married couple that I worked with. I lived 2 houses down. I was at their house every day, but they showed me the reality of marriage. So I didn't have this idolized vision of marriage that, oh my gosh, my spouse is going to be perfect. If anything, the best thing I feel like in my life that I learned as a young adult, as a single young adult, was that only God can satisfy your heart. Like no human is going to do that, not even your spouse, not even this amazing person that you love, not even that they are not going to fill every desire of your heart. Only God can do that. So when I was single, I was very joyful being single, and I knew the realities of marriage. I knew that, you're going to have to die to yourself, especially with kids, like especially with your spouse, like so I really just lived in the present. And as a single person, I was like, listen, Lord, if you take me now, if I die, I'll be married to you in heaven. Awesome. So I feel like that's a grace that God has given me that I'm able to live in the present. I'm not super caught up in the future. Because now when I'm married, a lot of married people and people with kids can kind of get caught up like, oh, those single people, like they have so much time. They don't know, they just, and we can always kind of be like the grass is greener on the other side. And so for me, I always want to live in the present and be so grateful, so thankful in the present moment. And that's actually like the little way of Saint Therese. Like that's the I just did the consecration to Divine Mercy. I think it was Father Don Callaway wrote this consecration, and he goes through the little way and Saint Therese, this whole Divine Mercy thing, it's all about praise and thanksgiving. Like that every moment we honor God like by praise and thanksgiving. And so I just want to try to do that. And even the small things, and even like, oh, the things that I hate doing, like laundry, like I just want to make sure I just want to, I want to love God in everything I do. So, yeah.
I think you do that pretty solidly. And I will tell you, I hope one day my wife is on a podcast and says Joe's canonization. I can't even begin to think of what she would say in that word. So I'm praying for that. And I never felt the grass was greener. I was never meant to be single. The minute I got married, I thought this is incredible to have a person to hang out with, to listen to my stories, to laugh at my jokes for the first 10 years of our marriage anyway. So I hear you, and I do think there are people listening that are praying for their children and grandchildren to find somebody. I think that's a beautiful thought. So I want to move. I know we don't have all day. We could do this all day, but I want to know, you've moved into big ministry, kind of ministry all over the United States, and I'm sure there are people that are curious, Jackie. So I want you to speak in a little bit to what you're seeing as the problems in the church. But I'm going to put a caveat. You cannot use these words. You can't use socially distance, essential. Okay. You can't use words like new normal or pivot. Okay. I want you to talk about the problems in the church without using those terms. Go.
And I can't use the word synergy. Bobby hates that word. Synergy. Everything is synergy. I think the problem in the okay, so people, there are people who will say they're the problems in the church, whatever they are, but I feel like those are really superficial problems, and they kind of feel like, and the solutions are really superficial. For me, the biggest problem in the church is that a lot of the people in the church are not evangelized. We don't know the basic gospel message. For the love of God, I have asked peep kids in confirmation. I have asked them, tell me what the good news is. And they literally cannot tell me the good news. And if you are Catholic and you can't, if we cannot, if we don't teach Catholics what the good news is, we don't know the basic gospel message. So to me, that is the biggest problem, is we have for a long time, again, like this is just, our faith has just become something we do. And we go to Mass and we kind of check off a checklist. And if it hasn't become a relationship with Jesus, and my goodness, Pope John Paul, Pope Benedict, and Pope Francis, they've all emphasized like we need a relationship with Jesus. But the fact is, like, we don't even know what that means, and we don't even know what the good news is. And I actually recommend, there's a book by, actually I have it right here. Let's see. A book by Jeff Cavins called The Activated Disciple. And Jeff Cavins, we went to Israel with him, man, right before COVID hit. Praise the Lord, we got to do that. Bobby and I got to go to Israel. I was a cantor for the trip. But I love going to Israel with him, because not only is he like a biblical scholar, but he is a disciple of Jesus. And so he's just constantly trying to woo people. So this book, Activated Disciple, is really good because he just lays out the basic gospel message. And I think that's the problem, is so many people, we're just kind of going through the motions. We're checking off the checklist. And there are some people who think like, oh, if everything is just brought back to the way it was pre-Vatican II, we'll all be saved. And it's like, y'all, there was a reason Vatican II existed, because people were bleeding out. We didn't know our faith. And the thing is, we need to have conversions. We need the Holy Spirit. We're called to be saints. And we're not just called to look holy or look Catholic. We're called to be holy, and we're called to be Catholic. So I feel like that, to me, is the biggest problem, is that we have, I guess, 1 billion Catholics on the earth. And according to Sherry Waddell from the Disciples. What is her book? Their book, Sherry Waddell.
Intentional Disciples. It's something about...
thank you.
It's something about intent. I didn't know it either, but I just grabbed two church words. I figure they're bound to be close in the title.
Intentional Disciples. Like she says that only 5%, she kind of interviewed priests and dioceses, and they basically said, she said, what percentage of the people in the pews are disciples, intentional disciples? And they said like 5%. I mean, we have a major problem. The fact that like if over half of Catholics don't even know that the Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, that's a problem, because that's a source and summit of our faith, right? And it's a problem that we don't even know the basic good news. We have not been evangelized. So again, I don't know the solution, except for that I am trying to raise saints. You know, like my first vocation is to love God with all my heart. My vocation outside of that is my family. And so I'm trying to raise saints. Now, my ministry is another circle outside of that. And I'm trying to tell everybody I can that Jesus alone can satisfy their hearts. Like, listen, money's not going to do it. Success ain't going to do it. Sex, drinking, alcohol, it's all been tried. It's all been done. That's not going to satisfy your heart. The only thing that will satisfy every desire is Jesus. And we need to have a relationship with him. And and obviously, like, being Catholic, we are so blessed to have the Eucharist. We're so blessed to have the sacrament of confession, just the sacraments in general. But I think, to me, that's the biggest thing I see, is like, we have not done a great job at evangelizing, and people have not had true metanoia, like true conversion. And we're kind of just going through the motions. We're like, as some people say, like the frozen chosen.
You know? No, I'm going to ask you in a minute your favorite place in the Holy Land. But before I get that, because I'm giving you a minute to process that thought and that question, because you don't want to upset anybody in Israel with this. But I want to talk about wooing people back to the faith, because I think it's not just like, even if we leave the church, like marriages have this happen, right? You just get so boring in your marriage that you're just going through the day-to-day motions. So how does Jeff Cavins, I guess, would start with, how does he woo people back that inspires you so much? How does Jackie do it? And what would you say to the man listening right now? Look, here's something you can start today to woo those around you back to this faith, this good news.
Yeah, I mean, it starts with, and Pope Benedict and Pope John Paul were big on the way of beauty. And actually, that's why I love Word on Fire, because Word on Fire is about preaching the gospel with beauty, right? And so the most beautiful thing in the world is a saint who is holy, or saint, right? Like, it's a saint. It's a person who is holy, a person who is fully alive. And so we can only really woo people. Like, I mean, it's not attractive. St. Teresa of Avila said this. It's not attractive to see a sad saint. It's not attractive to see people on Twitter who call themselves Catholics and yet are super horrible. You know, like they're super mean, super cynical. They are not kind. They're not exuding the virtue. And that's the thing is virtue. People who are joyful, humble, peace, they know themselves, are at peace with themselves. People who have been healed, like, you, man, you can tell when the difference between someone who is living a life out of woundedness versus someone who is living a life out of being healed. And that when someone is living a life out of healing, it is radiantly beautiful. And I will give you an example. My friend's sister, Miriam James Hydland, is one of the most stunningly beautiful. She's a nun. She doesn't wear makeup. She's, you know, she's not like trying to be an influencer. She's one of the most beautiful people. And when I'm around her, I'm just like, oh, I just want to spend time with, again, like they're those people, you too, Joe Ferris, you don't wear makeup and you are just absolutely beautiful.
I was, when you said preaching the gospel with beauty, I thought Word on Fire, but it's bound to be after me soon. Cause that's all I do.
I know. Right. But again, those are the people in my life and my friends, and really like you or like Sister Mary, just like my friends in my life who I love. And like, Joe, I haven't talked to you in a long time, but it's like these people who share the same faith, like you, there's an immediate connection. And you can kind of just, I haven't talked to you in 4 years or whatever, but it doesn't matter because we have our faith in common. But again, for me, the most attractive thing about the Catholic faith is when you meet a saint, when you meet someone who is living it, who is exuding the Holy Spirit. And so I would say to anyone who's listening, if they want to really evangelize, it really has to start with you. And it has to start with allowing God to heal you, having a relationship with Jesus. And actually, if you want a good like podcast about healing, there's a great podcast by two Catholic therapists, Dr. Bob Schutz and Dr. Jake Kim. It's called Restoring the Glory. And whoo, especially, I will say, you could go straight towards there. They did like a family series, like mother wounds, father wounds, sibling wounds, marriage, like your parents' marriage, like how that wounded you. And it's just beautiful because they both are, you know, as Catholic therapists for a long time, they've worked with a lot of people, but Dr. Bob Schutz has a lot of healing ministries. He has weeks for men, for women, for married couples. I have a friend, oh, we know, ALOB, seminarians who are, you know, he has like retreats for them for healing. And listen, we can't just pretend to fix these superficial things like, oh, I'm just fixing all the stuff to make me look good. It's like, no, we need deep healing and it's going to hurt and it's going to be painful. And it's going to be painful to realize like we're not perfect and we need Jesus. But that's the work we need to do if we want real saints, like who are just on fire with the Holy Spirit, who are exuding this beauty that attracts the world, you know. But I will say, Joe, this is the sad part, is that even in the Gospel of John, it says, I think it's in chapter 3, it says that even when Jesus came, and Jesus is the light of the world, there were people who still preferred the darkness. And that breaks my heart every time. I'm like, dude, Jesus. And it also makes me realize, like, I'm not the savior. I can't have a savior complex, because if there were still people who preferred the dark over Jesus when he was there in front of him, then I'm not going to draw everybody to the church. There are still going to be, even if I am a light and I don't hide under a bushel basket, people are still going to choose the darkness. So if they did it with Jesus, they're going to do it with us. So I just say, Mother Teresa's motto is my motto, and it's God demands that I be faithful, not successful. So I just try to be faithful, and if I'm not successful, then oh well.
No, I think you're exactly right. Like, I think it's going further out in our evangelization efforts, but going deeper inside. And I think that's the way we look at it. And I Bob Schutz has been on the podcast. He's a friend of mine. I can't get over that guy. I could spend hours. I have spent hours in his den. And I think I scared him to death, but cause I'm way too much work for that guy. I mean, you know, he looks at me, but he's so legit, so beautiful. So yes, if you're listening, go to one of his weekends or his weeks or whatever. So Jackie, I'm going to ask you one quick kind of fan question. Cause the one person I don't know is Bishop Barron. So just, I know you work for the guy. So tell us a little bit about him. Cause there are people that right now are listening to Word on Fire and Bishop Barron. I get a video a week about what he said. Tell us a bit about working for that kind of figure. That I say celebrity. I don't know that he would like that word, but about him and his influence in the church in the United States.
So he came to the Dallas office and each of the fellows got to have a 45 minute to an hour conversation with him. And I got to sit down with him. And let me tell you, he's the real deal. He is just, I think he wishes he could just be here with all the fellows. Like, he just loves reading. He loves, because we get to, like, I come in the office, we get to, like, I love this office because I'm with people who are, I'm probably the dumbest one. I'm just like, wow, you guys graduated from Yale and Oxford and you guys are very smart people, like, you know, masters and PhDs and all stuff, but they are so humble and they have a heart for ministry. So I feel like Bishop Barron would love to just be able to be here and be with this intellectual side where we get to read books and discuss them and write, you know, and so Bishop Barron is the real deal. And, you know, people can disagree with him and answer. I mean, goodness, it's like, can we not disagree? Even just like, that's what ideas are for. Like, you're like, oh, well, I don't agree with that necessarily, but like Bishop Barron, again, he's the real deal. He's a holy man. He is super smart. Like, just, I'm like, he's so brilliant. But he is, I will say, just in person, he is just how he seems. Like, he is down to earth, humble guy. When we were talking, I mean, just the care that he had, even just for me, it's like, he just feels like a spiritual father. You know how like Pope John Paul, you just are like, dude, this is my spiritual grandpa. I feel like Bishop Barron, he's the real deal. He's a spiritual father. And he really has a genuine love for the church and a genuine hope for people to be drawn to the church. So, you know, I just feel so grateful to be in this office with the people I'm working at and to be working for Bishop Barron.
Now you are blessed. I'm like a spiritual grandfather to a lot of people, the age that I'm getting to. I mean, let's be honest. Let's talk about real quick before, I know time is of the essence, but I would love to hear you talk a little bit about your role at Word on Fire and how folks that are listening right now can connect to you, connect to what you're doing, and even just be encouraged by what you're doing.
Yeah. So as a fellow for marriage and family life, I'm going to be creating content for the formation of married couples and also for parents. And listen, I've only been a parent for how long? Like 6.5 years. And I've only been married for 7 years. So for me, my hope is that I bring in people, even like a Joe Ferris, a Dr. Bob Schutz, you know, people who I look to for wisdom on marriage and family. So that's my, so I'm going to be creating content for the Word on Fire Institute and Engage, which is what parishes subscribe to. So if you know, people who join the Word on Fire Institute, I think right now there's like 17,000 students, but it's continuing to grow. And there are constantly courses about the faith, about, you know, beauty, about apologetics, about whatever. And, so I'm going to be creating content for the Institute and different courses for parents and married couples. But then in the future, there will be content that will kind of be more available to everybody. And that's when I will be bringing other people, especially to like kind of share their wealth and their wealth of wisdom about marriage, like formation of married couples and formation of parents. So that's what I'm going to do. And then writing for the Evangelization Culture magazine and different kind of stuff like that. So that's what I'm going to be doing. And so if people, you know, are interested on the Word on Fire Institute, they can become a member, a student, and kind of, there are just so many beautiful resources at the Institute. And I'm just, again, so I feel so blessed to be part of it.
Hey, I'm going to join as soon as we get off this call. I mean, anybody that preaches a word with beauty, I'm in with that. So I'm in. This sounds fun. So Jackie, I'm going to give you, before you pray us off the podcast, I'm going to ask you, you're a speaker, writer, mother, spouse. I mean, you're all these amazing things. I'm going to give you 2 minutes. You can say anything you want to. Our main audience is men that are, some are fathers, businessmen out in the world on their way to work today listening. You got 2 minutes to speak into them, whatever you want to say, you know, gently, but give us a little something, Jackie.
I would just say, know how good you are in Christ. You are a son. God loves you so immensely. you are his son. And for me, I just sometimes think about when I was little, the innocence I had, the purity of heart I had. And, you know, God says, unless you become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And we need to reclaim that purity of heart, that innocence, that wonder that we once had when we were children. Because when you're little, I know I have 4 little kids under the age of 6, and their wonder, they look at the birds outside and they're beautiful. And, you know, God doesn't call us to be adult-like and serious. He calls us to have childlike wonder, childlike faith. And so the problem is, like, when we were children, you know, there were things that happened in our life that we kind of started guarding ourselves. And maybe that childlike faith and wonder, you know, someone abandoned us or left us or hurt us, and we started putting these walls up. Well, I would say it's time to take those walls down. You know, maybe it was that your dad didn't love you or affirm you. And it's like, all right, well, it's time to let God the Father do that. And so, because I know a lot of men in my life, again, I know a lot of amazing men and I know a lot of broken men. And the difference is that the amazing holy men are the ones that allow God to break down those walls and allow, you know, they allow him to love them. And they're not putting up all these pretend faces, you know? So just as a man, just know that God loves you and that he just wants to get to the heart, and he wants to get you back to being the child, the son he created you to be, the child that is just so dependent on him and in love and trust and has great wonder and joy. So yeah, that's what I would say.
There you have it. Jackie Francois just walked circles around your heart to get those walls to fall down. So amen to that. So Jackie, pray us off the podcast.
Okay. In the name of Father and Son, Holy Spirit, amen. God, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for laying your life down for us. Thank you for always drawing us to your heart. Lord, I pray that you just pour so many graces upon us and upon all who are listening to this podcast. God, there are so many graces that people forget to ask for. And I ask that you just pour all those graces on the people listening, that you truly just transform our hearts. Help us to fall in love. And if we have fallen in love once, but maybe our hearts are a little dull, I pray, like in Revelation chapter 3, that you help us to fall in love again with the love we once had. And our beautiful Mama Mary, wrap us in your mantle of grace. Protect us from the evil one. I ask for your constant intercession for us, that we may be holy. We may be children who are on fire with God's love. So we say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Jackie, for sharing your infectious joy with us today on The Foxhole. And early on in this episode, you mentioned the importance of praise and thanksgiving. And that brought to mind a great memory for me. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to spend some time with a group of people who lived that praise and thanksgiving so well, praising God for just the blessings of a new day, for the beautiful weather, thanking him for the opportunity to spend time with certain people that had come into their lives. And I walked away from that experience and put a reminder on my phone each month to check in how I'm living that praise and thanksgiving. And that's a challenge for us this week, to put a reminder on your calendar, whether it's weekly or monthly, to remind you that we are called to live a life of praise and thanksgiving. And I think that will help us in our efforts to be more childlike and to let our walls fall down before God and others. I want to thank each of you for joining us today in the Foxhole. And I pray that the example of servant of God, Emil Capon, and this holy conversation inspires you to pursue your own life of holiness. Until next time, stay humble and stay courageous.
We can surely expect that in our own lives, there will come a time when we must make a choice between being loyal to the true faith or of giving allegiance to something else which is either opposed to or not in alliance with our faith. O God, we ask of thee to give us the courage to be ever faithful to thee. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of you. Amen.